seat. What a wonderful day it is. Man, we woke up this morning, it was pouring down the rain, and I had somebody tell me not too long ago, a farmer told me, he said, it's going to be a cold winter. I said, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it's going to be a cold winter. He said, yeah, it's going to be a cold winter because we're getting a lot of rain and it's really green right now. And so I don't want to be critical about that. I don't want to complain about it, but we're going to have a cold winter and that's just not going to be good for me. But anyway, just a little side note on just what kind of wonderful day it is, because it is a beautiful day and it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. And I want to talk to you guys about this series that Jesse started a couple of weeks ago. It's called You Drive Me Crazy. Now, wait a minute, it's not you that drive me crazy. That's the name of the series, is You Drive Me Crazy. And so we've been talking about how to deal with certain type of people. And one of the things that Jesse has told us over the week, that this isn't a series on how to change people, but this is what it's more about, is that you can't control what others say or do, but you can control what you say and do. And so today we're going to talk about critical people and how to deal with them. And I'm just going to tell you right off, all right, I'm going to step on some toes here. We're all critical. Every single one of us have a time where we are being that critical person in somebody's life. We tend to do that. I mean, just drive down the road and you're going, that guy can't drive. How can they afford to buy a new car? Can you believe she's wearing that? He's wearing white after Labor Day. But we tend to be critical, don't we? We're doing it all the time. That coach can't call a good play. That teacher is no good. There's just all kinds of things that we say all the time where we're critical in somebody's life. But we're not going to talk about us today. We're going to talk about the people that are critical in our life. And there's something that we all have in common too. I think right now you could probably think of somebody that's in your life right now that's a very critical person, that's always criticizing what you're doing. You can't do anything right. You can't say anything right. You can't make a right decision. They're constantly criticizing you. I think we all have those in our life. It may be somebody that's in our family, maybe a sister or a brother, maybe an aunt or an uncle, maybe a boss, it may be our neighbor, it may be a friend, it may be all kinds of people that are constantly criticizing us. It may even be a parent that criticizes their children. And so today what I want us to do is I want us to look at Ecclesiastes 5:7. And this is going to be our anchor passage this morning. This is going to be the passage that we're just going to kind of look at the rest of this message through. And this is what it says. It says, it's better to be criticized by a wise person than to be praised by a fool. So it's better to be criticized by a wise person than to be praised by a fool. So right away, when I'm looking at this, I can't help but think about like Jesse talks to us about having a funnel of influence. And some people use rings of influence. I like to use the chairs of influence. You know, believe it or not, I was in the band. I know the people that sit around me when I sing, they're like, oh my goodness, the boy can't keep a beat, can't stay on tune or anything. But I really was in the band. And so I understand the value of a first chair. Because we want to play, you want to be first chair. And the people in first chair are always the best. That's where the best musicians go. They're in first chair. Then you have second chair. And second chair is almost as good as first chair. They're not as good, but they're almost as good. And they're in second chair. And then you have third chair. And that's where everybody else is, right? And so our circle of influences are a lot like that. We all have a first chair. And that's where we put our closest confidants in. That's where our closest friends are that sit in that chair and we tell them everything. I mean, we pick up the phone and we're like, dude, you would not believe what my wife did this week. She made me throw away an empty carton. You know, I mean, it's like you've got that confidant right there and you're sharing your deepest, your most inner secret things with the people in your first chair. Now, you've got your people in the second chair, and you're really good friends with them, but you don't tell them as much as you do in the people in the first chair. And then everybody else, you just really don't say much to them at all because you know that they're going to kind of do this and talk. So you don't really tell them a lot of stuff. So as we're looking at this, and I read this, and I think it's better to be criticized by a wise person than be praised by a fool, then we want to make sure we got the right people in this chair. But we need to know what people praise, don't we? We need to set a baseline of what praise and criticism is all about. And praise often reveals what we value most. It reveals what we value most. So what do you praise? What do you praise? Do you praise the quarterback on Monday morning around the water cooler? Man, did you see that pass? Did you see the way they caught that ball? Man, my team, they won. Man, I'm proud of them. You're praising them. You're constantly praising them. Or maybe it's your abilities that you're praising. For example, you know, maybe you're a golfer and you go out this past weekend and you shot a 68. Now, if you're not a golfer, 68 is a really awesome score. But maybe you shot a 68. And so are you praising your abilities of the things that you can do on the golf course or at the job or wherever you're at? Is it that what you're praising? Is that what they're praising is their abilities? I did this. I did that. I can do this. I can do that. Are they praising self? Criticism often reveals your deepest insecurities. Let's let that sink in for a second. That criticism often reveals your deepest insecurities. So I'm going to challenge you right now just to think back to the last time you criticized somebody. Was it revealing something about yourself? When I think about that one, it's kind of funny. When Christian and I were dating, she bought a new car. And like anybody, of course, everybody's proud of getting a new car when you get one. And we were dating. It was my weekend to have my son. And so my son and I, we were like, okay, let's go hang out with Christian for a while. So Christian took us to Sonic to get a drink. So we went to Sonic. We pulled up into Sonic's parking lot and asking my son, so what do you want? What do you want to drink? He goes, man, this car sure is low. I can't even see the menu. He wasn't criticizing the car. What he was doing was he was criticizing a relationship that he didn't know how it was going to affect his relationship with me. It revealed something really deep inside of him that he was insecure about. Because now then here's a new person in my life that can buy a new car. How is that going to affect mine and his relationship? So just the smallest little things can show that. Maybe, guys, this is you. Maybe the wife is working. You got the day off, and you decide, man, I'm gonna help her out. I'm gonna clean the house. I'm gonna wash the dishes. I'm gonna vacuum. I'm gonna do all the stuff that's gonna. Man, she's gonna get home. She's gonna be so proud of me. And then she walks to the door and goes, "What did you do all day? You wash these dishes? I'm gonna have to wash them over again. You can't do anything." We get criticism all the time. I see people talking to their spouses right now. That's funny. That's funny. but anyway, so there's criticism that we do. We criticize what we maybe are a little insecure about. We praise things maybe that aren't the right things to be praising at the time. But anyway, so we're going to talk about what I want to talk about tonight. That's enough talking about that. We've got a good baseline, I think. I think we all understand what praise and criticism is. But I want to talk about how to respond to a critical person. How do you respond to that person that's critical in your life? Well, I want to talk about two wrong ways to do that. There's two wrong ways to respond. And the first one is fight. You know, somebody comes into your life and they're giving you some criticism, and the first thing you do, man, you're right here, man. No, I was right. I was right. What are you talking about? You know what? When I did that, I was justified in doing that. That was my thing to do. I know I was right. And so that's what we tend to do. We fight, right? We want to get up here and we want to argue with the person and defend ourselves. We want to defend our character. We want to defend our decision-making process. We want to defend our actions. We want to be on the defense, and we want to fight when that criticism comes our way. And that's the wrong thing to do, guys. Because the moment you go defensive, you just gave the person all the power. They got the power on you at that point. Because now then you're not thinking straight. And it's just the wrong way to approach somebody that's being critical of you. The second way is to flight. And that's when somebody, they just want to leave. They want to get out. They just want to go without any further engagement. And that's the wrong way too. And I'm going to tell you, there again, as soon as you take that flight, you gave them power. They have the power in the situation again. And there's another funny story. Christian and I have been married a long time. I mean a long time. And I never saw her mad. I never saw her get mad. We never had one of those kind of fights where she blew up and got mad and stuff. And so we finally, after years of marriage, we had that incident. Now, granted, we had some incredible, passionate discussions, but never to that point. And I was just talking to her about this yesterday, and I asked her, I said, what was that fight about? And she's like, I don't remember. Neither one of us remember. But I'm going to tell you, it was so funny. And guys, wrong response, okay? Let me just tell you, this is the wrong response. She's saying something, and I got tickled because she's mad. I've never seen her mad before. She's so cute when she's mad. But she's so mad. And so I'm just sitting there laughing. Oh my goodness, I'm yes, I can. But anyway, so she gets so mad at me that she storms down the hallway. She's flight. She took flight. She's going to the bedroom. She gets to the bedroom. She slams the door. But you know what? Our house was kind of airtight, and the door didn't slam. I just cracked up. I was laughing even harder because she was trying to be mad, trying to make a point, slam that door, boom, no. Guys, trust me, don't laugh at your wife when she's mad. That's for another sermon. But I do want to talk about three right ways to respond to that critical person in your life. Yeah, there's wrong ways to do it, and we need to avoid those. But there's three right ways to deal with somebody that's a critical person in your life. And the first response is to listen. Is to listen. Actively listen to what the person has to say. Okay? This is a technique that Jesse and I, we teach in premarital, in marriage enrichments, just a lot of different situations that we have that we get to teach this. And if you've never done active listening in a relationship, I want to encourage you the next time that you're having one of those moments, I want you to encourage to do active listening. And what that is you actually listen. I know, right? You actually listen to what the person is saying. And then you repeat it back to them. And this does two things. When you repeat it back to them, this does two things. The first thing it does, it lets them know that you are listening. Because the person that's being critical in your life, they actually want to be heard. They want to be valued too. And so what they're saying is, I want my opinion to matter, so I want you to hear what I'm trying to say to you. And so actively listen to them and then repeat it back to them. And the second thing it does this. You actually get to hear it coming from your mouth, what they're saying to you. And so it helps you understand it a little better. So Proverbs 15, 31 and 32 says this. It says, if you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. And I'm going to stop there for just a second because we're talking about two different types of criticism here. We've been talking about the negative criticism where somebody's just being critical in your life. And this is talking about constructive criticism. And there's a big difference between the two because the constructive criticism is meant to encourage and to build you up so that you can grow and become a better person. The other criticism is meant to tear you down and to hurt you. And so when you have somebody coming into your life that's giving you constructive criticism, we want to listen to that. Verse 32, it says, if you reject discipline, you are only harming yourself. But if you listen to correction, you will grow in understanding. And that's what we all want to do. We want to grow in understanding. We want to be wise. We don't want to be considered the fool in this situation. We want to be considered wise. And so how do you know when to listen to them? Okay? It's when their motives is to help you, not hurt you. I've been in situations in the workplace where I've seen employees telling other employees, man, you got to be doing this. You're doing that wrong. You got to do this. You got to go this way. Man, you need to tell the boss what you think. You need to do these other things. And that employee that's telling the other employee isn't there to help him. He's really there to hurt him because he wants that job. He wants your paycheck. He wants your money. He wants what you're making. He wants your schedule. And so you need to be able to sit back and you need to be able to look at the person's motives. Are they going to help you or are they going to hurt you? And so we really need to step back, look at what the whole picture is, and take time to look and see, okay, I can see a pattern with this person and what they're always telling me. And when I listen to them, maybe it doesn't always work out. So maybe you don't want to listen to that person. So you need to know if their motives can help you or hurt you. The second is when the person can help. When the person can help. Because you may be having problems with your kids, and you don't want to go to a person that's never raised a kid and ask them how to raise kids. They do know everything, don't they? If that was my kid, I'd be beating them. Yeah, if it was your kid, you'd be spoiling and rotten. But that's it. You don't want to listen to somebody that doesn't have kids in that situation. They're just not, they can't help you. You know, if you're wanting to learn to sing, you don't want to come to me and ask me my opinion because I'm not going to be able to help you because I can't sing, right? If you're looking for some help in finances, you don't want to go to somebody that's always having to borrow money. You know, it just makes sense. Always make sure that the person that you're listening to can help you. The second thing is answer. Answer. And remember, you know, as we're looking at listen and answer, you know, we can't control what others say or do. We can only control what we say and do. So when we give that answer, we kind of want to be like Gideon. Here in Judges 8:1, the people of Ephraim asked Gideon, why have you treated us this way? And they argued heatedly with Gideon. But Gideon replied, what have I accomplished compared to you? And when I look at that, when I look at what he's doing, he's giving them an answer. But he's doing more than just giving them an answer, isn't he? Because number one, they argued heatedly with Gideon. He didn't take flight. He didn't leave. He didn't get out of there. He didn't fight with them. He listened to them. He heard what they were saying, and now he's giving them an answer. And he's actually complimenting them here. He's actually giving them a compliment. And I'm going to tell you, anytime that you've got somebody that's like coming at you full steam, and they're just criticizing you, the best way to take the wind out of their sail is give them a compliment. Just throw a compliment out there. Find something good to say about them, say it, and they're going to back off. They're going to ease up a little bit. And that's exactly what Gideon did here. And so how do you know when to give an answer? When the person is missing information that would change his perspective. When a person is missing information that would change his perspective. And guys, I'm going to tell you, we are always missing information. If something's going on in my life, you've only got little bits of information. You don't know the full situation. You don't know the full story. And what tends to happen is people tend to get critical towards us because they're only seeing a little bit and they don't know the whole story. So they need to have some more information, because one of the things, this is something that I talk about when I'm doing, you know, premarital or marriage enrichment or just other kind of counselings in general, is people will try to open a little window and let me look through in their perspective. And it's like, you know, I can't see everything. You're showing me a situation here from your vantage point, and there's a whole lot of more information here that I don't know, and you're wanting me to make a judgment on this situation when I don't know all the facts. And so sometimes there's more information that needs to be given. And when do you give that more information? When the person is open to change. If the person isn't open to change, man, you can talk to your blue in the face. They're not going to pay any mind. They're going to have their opinion. They're going to say the same thing. They're going to do the same thing. They're going to accuse you of whatever it is. They're going to come at it another way. Well, let me open another little window. Let me let you look in at this angle so you can see it. So you can give the information all you want to some people, and it won't make any difference. But if they're open to change, give them an answer. Because some people will. They'll go, oh, man, I had no idea. It's kind of like Christian always fusses at me for, and I'm going to do a video on this, by the way. But she always fusses at me for putting my empty Kool-Aid container back into the refrigerator. But I do that for a reason. Right? There's logic for me in my mind why I set the empty Kool-Aid container back in the refrigerator. Because I understand that the refrigerator is a lot like the closet. I'm limited in space. And I want to save my space in the refrigerator. So now then, she knows why I set the thing back in its place, is because I want to save my place. So there's more information that'll actually help her in the future, when she opens the door and she sees the empty container there. Oh, he's saving space. Okay. So, but anyway, remember that we can't control what others say or do, but we can control what you say and do. And that brings us to our third point, and that's to dismiss. Just dismiss. You know, when I think of the old, was it in the 90s, talk to the hand? There it is, talk to the hand. You know, he says sometimes that's what you got to do. You just got to go, sorry, just talk to the hand. I'm going to dismiss you. I'm not going to go there right now. And I'm going to give you a great example of this. This is really, really kind of funny. I've shared this with you before. When I first came on staff here, and I remember that year, I planned my first overnight outing with the youth. I was so excited. We were going to go to a conference in Houston. We were going to spend the night. And I was just so pumped up. I was excited. This was about in November when I planned it. We were going in January. And I made flyers, and I was so happy I had flyers. I'm going to church on Sunday. I'm going to be giving the flyers out to all the parents. So we're in Bible study first service, and I'm telling the kids, I'm like, hey, man, here's some flyers. We're going to go to this really awesome conference. It's going to be great. Showed them a little video. Really excited. Sunday school's over, Bible study's over. Now then it's that time between services, and I'm going around and I'm catching all the parents. And I walk up to my first two parents. First two parents I walked up to, very first time I'm advertising the very first event that I'm going to do. And I hand them flyers, really happy. And one of the parents looks at it, and she shook it. I'm just now finding out about this. You need to do a better job in getting this information out to us. The next one's like, I didn't know anything about it either. And I was like, really? This is my very first time telling you. No other parent has heard this. You are the first, is what I'm thinking in my mind. But I just dismissed them. I just dismissed them. I was like, yes, ma'am, you're right. I'll do a better job in the future. And I went on. That was the best way to handle that situation, because more information wouldn't have made a difference. Because I came to learn that they were always critical of everything that I did. Didn't matter what I did, they were just critical. So sometimes you just have to dismiss. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 13 and 14, it says this. As Jesus replied, not every plant planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted, so ignore them. Let me reread that. Man, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted, so ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind. If one blind person guides another, they will both fall into a ditch. Wow. That says a lot. So that's telling us right now, if the person doesn't have all the information, they're just leading you blindly. You're both going to get in trouble if you follow that. So it's okay to ignore that other person, just dismiss them. But how do you know when to dismiss them? Well, it's when that person is characterized by being overly critical. And you know that person. You have them in your life. You know, we all have that person that is just constantly complaining about every decision, everything that you say, everything that you do. They're just critical about it. You could have done a better job with that. You could have done this. You could have done that. You needed to save your money. You needed to go on vacation. You needed whatever. They're critical, and they're always critical. And so those people we just kind of dismiss. You don't want to be rude to them. Please don't be rude to them. But you just need to go on. One of the things that Jesse and I were at a conference one time, and we learned this statistic. It was really cool. It said 10% of people will agree with everything that you do, regardless of what you do. And 10% of people will disagree with everything you do, regardless of what you do. And so that's what we're talking about here, is that 10% of people that are never happy, that are always complaining about what you do. So the next thing is you just dismiss that person when the person is emotionally unhealthy or wounded. Now, when I say dismiss them, I don't mean ignore their hurt. Okay? Because we need to love on that person that's hurting. We need to take time to minister to that person that's hurting. We need to help them through that. But what I'm saying is, when they're being critical to you, hurt people hurt people. And if they're being critical to you, they're hurting you. They want to hurt you because they're hurting. And that's what we need to dismiss. We don't need to take that personal. We don't need to take and put a lot of stock into what they're saying at that point in time, because we understand that they're a hurt person. But what we need to do is we need to be praying for that person. We need to be loving on that person. And we need to be trying to help them along and get to that better place, so that maybe they can move from the third chair over here to the first chair and be a wise person in your life. But we just need to dismiss that hurt or wounded person. You guys can come on up. It's better to be criticized by a wise person than to be praised by a fool. And I just kind of want to wrap it up with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 says, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. See, we can't please all the people, but we can please God. And that's what our purpose is. And if you're here this morning and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't please him without it. You need to have that personal relationship with him to be able to please him. And that's what our purpose is all about. And this morning I want to give you an opportunity to be able to have a conversation with God, to be able to know him personally. So let's pray. Father God, I just want to pray for you.
Hi, this is Jesse, lead pastor for Two Rivers Bible Church. Our mission is to lead you to know God and to make him known. Our desire is that every man, woman, and child would have that opportunity. Our dream is that we could take a picture of heaven and represent it here on earth in the diversity that we're able to reach. Our hope is that you too could partner with us by sharing this message to your closest unchurched friends and family.